Welcome to Just a Minute! Sue Perkins here, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, it's an utter joy to welcome you back to Just a Minute. Now time to introduce you to the four marvellous and talented players who are playing Just a Minute this week. They are Giles Brandreth, Desiree Birch, Glenn Moore and Lucy Porter. Please whoop and cheer for all four of them. In a format that will surprise no one, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I give them for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. So let's see how they fare. Giles, we're going to start with you. The subject, sounding smart in an art gallery. I'm actually really going to take notes on this one. Can you speak for 60 seconds without repeating, deviating, or hesitating? Sounding smart in an art gallery. Your time starts now.
When the great Irish playwright George Bernard Shaw was asked which painting he would save in the National Gallery in the event of a fire, he said the one nearest the door. Connoisseur of the detail of fine art, whereas I thought I was until I went to the Louvre and admired the work of a painter called Catal, 1452, and was surprised in the next room to find another objet d'art dated 1753. I then realised that this was the name of the word catalogue abbreviated. And consequently, I was just getting a number instead of the actual details of the fine artist involved. Basically, if you want to sound good in an art gallery, you have just to make a noise, not to speak properly. A little grunting or groaning, sniffing, that's the sort of thing that goes well. Blinking your eyes, nudging your neighbour. When you see Goya's the Duke of Wellington, you go, ha-ha, hee-hee-haw. Repetition's there, I think.
Oh, the pain of it. Lucy, you buzzed.
Ha ha hee hee.
Ha ha hee hee.
It was the Laughing Cavalier he was looking at.
It was. Yes.
Shall I tell you, he's going to be Munch's screamer when I tell you. 3 seconds remaining. So, with that in mind, what can you tell us? Sounding smart in an art gallery, starting now.
Never laugh in an art gallery if you want to sound smart. All you need...
Lucy was speaking as the whistle went. That means she gets the valuable point. And Desiree, we are with you for the next one. Your subject is rain on your wedding day. Rain on your wedding day. What can you tell us about this in 60 seconds, starting now?
Rain on your wedding day has been likened to a free ride when you've already paid and good advice that you just didn't take by the pop singer Alanis Morissette. However, rain on your wedding day is pretty much guaranteed if you get married in this country. And I would be willing to wager money that rain will happen on my wedding day as I plan to get married in London. I wish... that
Lucy.
Did you say get married twice? If you get married in the UK.
Yes. She did. I well listened out married, for Lucy.
Sorry.
Good challenge. You get
I don't
point.
Want to ruin your wedding day.
Correct challenge, Lucy. 32 seconds remaining. Rain on your wedding day starting now.
Rain on your wedding day is indeed an inevitability in this country. When I got married, I walked slowly down the aisle, not because of tradition, but because I was waterlogged. And my father had to wring out my train as we got to the front. Rain on your wedding day is, of course, considered lucky. And the rain on my wedding day has ensured that I have remained married for many years. And
Glenn.
Repetition of married as well.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Indeed.
It's a hard subject like that, isn't it?
Isn't it? Trixie. Can't always be fun, this game, that's what I say. I made it my mission statement now I've taken over. Glenn, great interruption, great challenge. You get the point, and 7 seconds remaining. The subject, need I remind you, rain on your wedding day. Your time starts now.
I think when people say rain on your wedding day is considered good luck, they mean it in the same way as when a pigeon defecates on your head. They're just trying to cheer you in the most miserable way.
Well done, Glenn. Speaking as the whistle went, you get the point and you get the next subject. Mm. So Ooh, you have the Streisand effect. It's all yours. You've got 60 seconds starting now.
The Streisand effect relates to a phenomenon involving the singer Barbra Streisand, Babs for short, Barbarabara for long, when a situation occurred in the last couple of decades where some photos were taken of the hills and mountain cliff sides of California, and an image of her home was included amongst those photographs. What happened was she did not want people to see those images, and as a...
Giles.
We had images twice.
I think
we had
image.
Photographs. No, we had images. Well, you are in charge, and of course you can say that. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. Alexa, would you play this back again?
Hang on, let me have a look. California. Image of the home and images was the second thing. You said it's an incorrect challenge, I'm afraid, Giles. And 30 seconds remaining on the Streisand effect. And your time, Glenn, starts now.
The long and short of it is, in an effort to suppress the camera work, Barbra Streisand inadvertently attracted far more attention.
Lucy.
Repetition of Barbara.
And it's a correct challenge. Barbara is indeed not on the card. The card just says Streisand. So, a brilliant interception there. You get the point, you get the subject of the Streisand effect. With 21 seconds remaining, your time starts now.
The Streisand effect for me is that in the shower, I sing songs from Hello Dolly and Funny Girl, and my entire family love it. And they say it's like having Barbara in the house with us as they leave. The Streisand effect is unfortunate. Sometimes when we wish to draw attention away from something about ourselves...
Well done, Lucy. Speaking as the whistle went, you gain that valuable point. I think it'd be remiss of me not to ask Glenn to explain the end of that for those who don't know the Streisand effect. So she had a photo taken...
Of what it actually is, yeah. Some photos were taken of the California cliffsides, and her house was included amongst these thousands of images. No one would have ever seen her home. But what happened was, I think she didn't want people seeing pictures of her house, so she tried to set up a legal case to make sure that that one photo was struck from these records. And as a result, a photo that had initially only been seen by about 12 people ended up being seen by millions upon millions upon millions.
Repetition of photo. And then...
The Brandreth effect. Lucy, we are back with you, actually. We've gone medieval. Ladders. I don't really know why ladders are medieval, but perhaps you can tell us. Ladders, Lucy, your time starts now.
Ladders have been around since medieval times and are the natural enemy of both snakes and clowns. I love a ladder. As a short person, if I want to get up to the top shelf in our kitchen cupboard, a ladder is the very thing for me. I also have ladders in my...
This is just for interest for people like Glenn who are new to the game. Ladders is on the card, but we've had the word ladder repeated at least twice.
We have.
So is that a legitimate...
That's not of interest
to
me.
You know it is a legitimate ladder. Giles, that is the most passive-aggressive way that anyone has ever challenged anybody. Because you know it's a correct challenge. Because she did say ladder. She said ladder to go to the top shelf.
I was listening. That's why I challenged.
I know.
I'm just slightly disconcerted by Glenn, because somebody said, I heard somebody whispering, are they related? I have to say, if I had a love child, I'd like him to be like Glenn.
Mm? Oh, thank you, Dad. I appreciate that.
It's a great challenge, Giles. You get the subject of ladders, the plural, and you've got 35 seconds remaining. Your time starts now.
Older listeners may recall that after the Second World War, people in the 1940s and the decade that followed, ladies would wear stockings, and sometimes there would be tears in them that were known as ladders. My mother had a lot of these in her nether garments and had a lovely ointment that she would apply to them to mend the ladders. It had a wonderful distinctive smell, and I really enjoyed sniffing at her legs. I'm realizing these problems.
Lord above. Somebody end this antiquated perversion.
God, this is my grandmother you're talking about.
Oh, Oh, Lucy, thank goodness you stopped that. As if I need to ask why you've put a stop to it.
Deviation, deviance.
Truly, listeners of a certain age will remember this...
No, they won't remember sniffing their mother's leg.
Remember the lovely smell. Have you ever had...
No, one? I've never smelt
there
my
was.
Leg.
Is there anybody here that knows what I'm talking about?
Nobody
is there
knows
anybody
what
who remembers
about,
this? What was it called, this stuff you paid?
Nobody knows what you're saying.
What was it called?
Nail varnish.
Thank you. Anyway, that's how I got into it. And
Are you saying your mother's legs are a gateway drug experience? I feel to let you carry on is to encourage this grim pathology, and therefore we must. Lucy, I'm going to give you a point because he was deviant. But nonetheless, let's explore it further in the 5 seconds that are available to us. Giles, your time starts again now.
In my experience, ladders bring you good luck. Walking under one is something that you can do with great impunity because when you get to the other side...
Wait till you find out, Giles, that in the 1950s, women who didn't have a lot of cash used to put Bovril, or a yeast extract equivalent, run it up the back of their legs to look like a stocking seam on their naked legs. You would have licked them like a lolly. Yeah. End of that round. Couldn't have come quick enough, could it really? Scores in third position, Desiree. In second, we've got Joint, Glenn and Giles. It's a family affair. And up front, it's Lucy. Giles, we're straight back at you. The subject is waving the white flag. Mm. Waving the white flag. What can you tell us about that in 60 seconds? Your time starts now.
Many years ago, when I stood for Parliament, the monster raving loony party waved the white flag and said they wouldn't stand against me. They wished me well. They thought there could be no competition. I was their kind of candidate. Waving the white flag means surrendering, and it's recognised, I believe, in the Hague Convention, first in about 1899, then in 1907. It's a concept that I don't find appealing, but sometimes you do have to concede that you have been defeated by younger and more attractive people. I'm referring, of course, to the other folk who are here tonight. Waving the white flag is not something I plan to do in the future. I intend to rush towards the barricades, waving the red banner. I have become a latter-day socialist. This is because my threesome that I had once with Tony Benn and Michael Foote, that I wasn't able to tell you about the other day, they said, wave the white flag. I said, no, I believe in...
Lucy.
You said a lot of things, Giles. You said, I said this, I said that.
I said.
Yeah, and I'd run out of steam, to be honest. I'd run out of steam.
It's a real shame, though, because if you'd carried on...
Oh, love, love, thank you. Oh, my sister's come again. That's so...
Did she sniff the other leg?
I look forward in the dressing room to discussing your newfound communist tendencies, John. And oh, that you had a little bit more steam. Just 4 seconds more
oh,
steam.
No! Oh, no!
I know, but Lucy,
sorry.
You have the subject. 4 seconds remaining, and the subject is waving the white flag, starting now.
In combat, waving the white flag means surrender. Waving the black flag means no quarter given.
Well done, Lucy. You spoke as the whistle went. You gained the point. And Glenn, we're back with you. Now, what have we got? Dress for the job you want. Okay, what can you tell us about that in 60 seconds? Well, your time starts now.
It is always advised to dress for the job you want so that you walk in with a sense of professionalism and also an idea that perhaps you have already had this occupation in the past. If perhaps you were trying to apply for the first man on the...
Lucy.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Just one short of the song and we've got it. Yeah. Perhaps, indeed. Correct challenge, Lucy. You get the subject, which, of course, is dress for the job you want, and you've got 42 seconds remaining, starting now.
Dress for the job you want. I dress as Pope because one day I think that my big white hat and my long dress will come in handy and I will be Queen of Rome as I deserve. I mostly dress for the job...
Hesitation.
There was a winding down, absolutely.
I was just thinking about my Catholic family listening to this.
Glenn, that was a correct challenge. You've got 22 seconds. It's back with you. Dress for the job you want. Your time starts now.
In an effort to dress for the job you want, it is widely suggested that you do not dress as the Pope. It will be seen as a threat to the current pontiff, and he will not enjoy, or she, but most likely male, that you are...
So good. Giles.
A bit harsh, but I felt there was hesitation.
There was a little bit of hesitation, but you know what? Glenn is a very new player. He's very new to the game, and I think it's a moment, really, to give him the benefit of the doubt and let him carry on with the subject.
Oh, yes. I want
seconds.
Nothingness for my boy.
I hope I made you proud.
5 seconds remaining. It's back with you, and your time starts now.
The first occupation I ever had was as a journalist.
Desiree.
Is that a dick move? I thought you said occupation the first time you started this off.
He absolutely did.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
He absolutely did. The first iteration had occupation. That's a correct challenge. That's a point. Ugh. And it's 1 second go. Dress the job you want in 1 second, Desiree, starting now.
Pajamas, baby! I want to...
Snake, I'm so sorry.
Oh, I like so much about that. Point goes to you. Well done for speaking as the whistle went. And Lucy, we're going to finish up this round with you. The subject is hearing the specials. Well, hesitating, repeating or deviation. Let's hear what you're going to say on hearing the specials in 60 seconds, which starts now.
This does not refer to the two-tone band from Coventry, sadly, whose song Ghost Town I would always like to hear. But this, I presume, refers to restaurants. When I look at the specials, I prefer to read them from the blackboard, although sometimes I accidentally end up ordering a motivational quote. So I will say, can I have the, if you can't handle me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best. The specials is a lovely moment for a waiter, and I like to make them repeat the specials 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 times, but no more than that, so that fish may be included. The normal menu often neglects...
Glenn, you buzzed.
I believe there may have been a repetition on menu.
The thing is that there was 0.03 seconds remaining.
So sucks
I
to your
don't
repetition.
Care.
He's learning too fast.
Welcome to the new normal, Sue. Glenn's in town.
Yeah.
This is definitely my son.
In which case, he needs to learn from good mummy that this isn't the way to have fun. But Glenn, Lucy, you spoke for just a minute! Yay! And at the end of that round, as if anyone's scoring anything, or indeed knows where we are, it's a pretty competitive field. We've got Desiree in third, but Giles and Glenn, father and son combo in second place, and Lucy striding out some 7 points ahead. But still, as they like to say, all to play for. So, next round, Giles, we're coming back to you, and your subject is doubling down. So can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating on doubling down, starting now?
Yes, doubling down, boy, is what happens from here on in. Once upon a time, I, when I was young, worked in a duvet and pillow factory. My job was to collect the swan's down and stuff it into the articles that we were creating in this particular establishment. And because it was upmarket, we liked to give twice as much as our rivals. This was called doubling down. It was one of my first jobs, and I learned a great deal about life from this. Doubling down means going that extra mile, ultimately achieving what you need to achieve. And if I had a son in the room, as I do feel that perhaps I have, and it could well be that he was conceived on the night that I first appeared on this program in 1983, I'm not sure what his age is. Maybe...
Glenn.
Offensive.
I mean, that's got to sting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Really got to sting. I know this can't make up for an absence of a father or even a father who doesn't care to know when you were born, but could I give you a point for that interruption?
Absolutely, I'll take that. It makes me feel a lot better, thank you.
But sadly, nothing to do with the rules of just a minute. We will let Giles carry on. He was going gangbusters. He did 53 seconds. Bring it home, Giles. 7 remaining, starting now.
Doubling down is a very useful phrase if you want to encourage young people to succeed in life.
Glenn.
Repetition of young.
It is a repetition of young.
I know that father and son mud wrestling is no longer a thing.
It's like watching...
But there is something quite exciting about this. Being bested by one's own boy.
I mean, it's better than sniffing nail varnish.
It's like watching Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker.
It is. Yes, you were a young boy, of course, when you worked at the factory, and it was a repetition. And Glenn, the younger generation. 2 seconds, please. Your time starts now.
When doubling down occurs, it's usually as a direct...
Yes.
Glenn was speaking as the whistle went. He gets the point, and Desiree, you get the next subject. Ooh. Don't step on the cracks.
Okay.
Can you speak for that subject? Don't step on the cracks. You've got 60 seconds starting now.
Don't step on the cracks, screamed my mother, knowing she was in immediate peril because of her back injury, which had happened years before when I was playing double dutch on part of the pavement and I smashed into that crack. Don't step on the cracks is a thing.
Glenn.
What I realised I did was I was going to call you out for repeating actually the very subject itself. Sorry, I'd take that back.
And we don't get extra buzzing, Charles.
Oh,
you know, once it's buzzed, it's buzzed and it's been invalidated, we proceed. Don't we? That's how we've played for years.
Yes, I'm just going to congratulate Glenn on the gracious way he did that.
Yeah. He gets it from his mother. Incorrect challenge. You get to keep... I just want to hear more about the crack. You've got 38 seconds and your time starts now.
Don't step on the crack, said my cousin, who had spent his life savings on a pile of crack. He had decided...
Giles, I
We did have crack in the singular earlier.
You're right.
Yes, we did have... It was a repetition. I was just getting over the fact there'd been a crack cocaine reference. On just a minute. But it's good to see you were just focused on the points. What a repetition of crack. And you get it. The little victory is yours. 28 mm-hmm. seconds. The subject is don't step on the cracks, starting now.
When I was a little child living in London, we used to dance along the pavements playing a game made famous to me in a poem by Alan Alexander Milne, the wonderful author who created the Winnie the Pooh stories and those about Christopher Robin. And this particular exercise involved one on not stepping onto the lines between the paving stones. And there was something very satisfying in being able to leap along the street, enjoying oneself, knowing that one hadn't stepped on the tracks.
Giles there, speaking as the whistle went, so gets the point, and it's the final round.
Oh.
Now, Lucy, we're with you. Here's the thing. A ruined supper. Mm. There you go. A ruined supper is your topic. What can you tell us about that in 60 seconds, starting now?
A ruined supper is when Giles Brandreth appears with his Scrabble set and says, before we eat, we must play. A famous ruined supper was when Judas Iscariot refused to tip the waiters and it all went a bit pear-shaped. I find something that ruins supper is not enough sausages. Oh boy, do I love the fleshy meat sacks. As an evening meal, I simply can't get enough.
Giles.
It's because of these revolting fleshy meat sacks that I bring Scrabble around. We hope we never get to this ghastly supper. She hesitated. She came to a full stop. Her mouth spluttered over the, yes, hesitation.
There's a slight hesitation. So, 24 seconds remaining, Giles. I'll give you that one. The topic is yours, a ruined supper. Maybe you've won an award for this. We'll find out. Your time starts now.
Eating while playing Monopoly does indeed ruin any supper because people argue about the rules. They throw their houses and their hotels all over the place. They wish that they had bought Park Lane when they got some measly railway station. A ruined supper is when I come along and my wife has forgotten to tell me that other people would like to talk as well. And then the old evening becomes a little bit of a monologue. And at the way on we go home, my darling...
Well, sadly, audience, that's all we've got time for.
I know,
but we've got to stop somewhere. And at the end of that game, everyone played wonderfully, but the scores are as follows. In fourth place, we've got Desiree. In third, we've got Glenn. In second place, Giles Brandreth. And roaring ahead, and tonight's winner, Lucy Porter! And there, my lovelies, we've got to leave you. But first of all, thanks to our incredible players of tonight's game, Giles Brandreth, Desiree Birch, Glenn Moore and Lucy Porter. We, of course, are always indebted to Ian Messiter and to Nicholas Parsons. And we thank Sarah Nichols for blowing her whistle so delicately in my lughole. Producer was Rajiv Karia, and this was a BBC Studios audio production for BBC Radio 4. And this is me, Sue Perkins, saying thanks once again for listening to us. And please do join us again when we next play Just a Minute.